Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I call total BS on that last story that John and Lance read, that women cheat more than men. Total BS.
Why?
Because I think it's men by a long shot. I think it just proves that men are not as honest.
Hmm.
Or you know what? It might be 50-50.
It was a study that showed that. Now,
what's your personal experience?
Well, if you never get in a relationship, it's not cheating.
Yeah, that's true. Our generation is weird about official versus unofficial. It's like you can be dating with the person, sleeping with the person, pretty much exclusive, but if you don't put the label on it, you're not official.
And what's funny is sometimes when you ask to put the label on things,
yeah,
guess what? The relationship ends.
There's emotional unavailability, commitment phobes. Not that Paul and I would know anything about that. I'm Vanessa Richardson, by the way. That's Paul Gallant.
I actively seek phobes. Him out.
Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. I want to start with your experience, Paul. The Astros win 4-2. It was a huge game. Let's start out with just general thoughts. Your first Astros game in a couple years, pal.
It's been a while since I could hold my head up high. It's been a while since I could remember even just being in Minute Maid Park. I didn't do my gallivanting around the park like I normally do because it took me a little bit longer to get into the park than I would have liked. And obviously, I did the Killer Bees yesterday, too. But it was great to be back. And it was a good night to be back because, first off, it was Carlos Correa's return to Houston, our first time seeing him play against the Astros. That was a little bit weird. And I almost saw history.
You almost saw the no-hitter with Justin Verlander?
The no-hitter that would have been a perfect game if Martin Maldonado, defensive specialist, could catch a strikeout. Yes, I was cheated.
I saw that moment happen, and I knew exactly what baseball Paul in the stands would think. What's funny, of course, we'll get to Carlos Correa in a minute. Carlos Correa's return was almost overshadowed by the fact that, once again, 39-year-old Justin Verlander put on a heck of a performance. 6 no-hit innings. He came out after 91 pitches. Apparently, he and Dusty had agreed that the pitch count would be 90.
Mm-hmm.
But some fans not happy because he was throwing a no-hitter.
I'm not. Look, I get it. It's logical. It makes sense to take Verlander out. The postseason is all that matters. But I was there, damn it. I want to see history.
Yeah.
I mean,
you never seen a no-hitter?
I have never seen a no-hitter. No. How many people have seen a no-hitter?
No, it's very rare.
Have you seen a no-hitter?
I have not seen a no-hitter.
Sean Mapes, behind the glass, have you seen a no-hitter in person?
No.
I think a lot of people like to go to regular season baseball games to see things that they haven't seen before. So I'm not going to criticize Dusty Baker here. I'm not going to criticize Justin Verlander either. He's 39 years old. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery. It makes a lot of sense. But doesn't it suck that all of a sudden the regular season across baseball, across basketball, just doesn't matter? Pursuit of history. Who gives a bleep? Who cares?
According to Chandler Rome, he was on a 90-pitch count because the Astros are going back to a 5-man rotation during his next turn. Does that change your opinion at all?
It's totally logical. I'm.
It's emotional that you're going off of.
It's emotional, and it's just, Vanessa, me looking at owners and saying, you are clearly minimizing the importance of what I see either 162 nights a year in baseball, 82 nights a year in the NBA, and you don't give a bleep. You don't care. That's owners are greenlighting stuff like this. The sport is greenlighting stuff like this. And it makes sense. It's all about the World Series. We are Astros followers, after all. We are more into winning a title. But I don't know. If I'm at that game and Justin Verlander has a no-hitter where he didn't walk anybody, and the only person that got on base is because defensive specialist catcher Martin Maldonado dropped a strikeout, I would be a little pissed off about that.
You actually were able to talk with Carlos Correa. And again, we'll get to his epic return. But Paul was able to chat with Carlos Correa, who had some great things to say about his former teammate, Justin Verlander.
He's a Cy Young favorite for a reason. He was painting the corners. He was mixing and mashing as much as I've seen him. He was very good tonight.
Was he nasty?
It was gross.
That was Mark Berman. I love that. And it really was. It must have been something else for Carlos Correa to be on the other end of that, to see Justin Verlander pitching against him. And, I mean, Verlander brought it. I feel very good about Verlander come playoff time. And seriously, on a, hey, let's be smart note, I don't have an issue with Baker pulling him. I do have an issue with the bullpen making me feel, you know, anxiety in my tum-tum, but it makes sense to pull Verlander. It just sucks.
The last few weeks, definitely the last week for the Astros bullpen, when you look at their tenure in Atlanta, has not been great. But Carlos Correa was great here in Houston. An Astros legend. I don't care what anybody says. That became kind of a debate on Twitter, whether or not he was an Astros legend, which is just weird to me. What'd you see from Carlos yesterday in the reception?
Well, he was very, you could tell, taken by everything that the Astros did for him, and they really rolled out the
red carpet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The video that they put up on the screen was very good, and he brought his little baby.
Baby Kylo was everything.
Right.
The way that Lance McCullers Jr., who's his godfather, grabbed Kylo's little hand when he got his ALCS ring. So cute.
There are a couple of moments where I got a little nostalgic. There was a moment, too, I think it was during the national anthem when both Correa and Bregman were standing in center field, like right next to each other. And, of course, yeah, bringing Kylo out there. Yeah, I'm happy that he got that kind of a welcome, that kind of a reception. I mean, this is a guy who is one of the best players in the franchise's history. We're talking like the top three, no, but we are talking about a guy who is part of the return to relevance for this team. And I'm glad he got his night. And it must have been really awkward for him, Vanessa, having to break up the other story from last night's game, the weird dust-up between Aaron Sanchez, who
right.
played with the Astros in 2019, and Jose Altuve. We were all trying to figure out.
Well, I was watching it, and that's the same thing with the announcers too. So
we're like, what happened? They were just staring each other down?
From rewatching it all, Altuve was hit in the thigh by Aaron Sanchez, is what it looked like. As he's walking to first base, he kind of had some words with Sanchez, which we don't usually see Jose Altuve get feisty, but he got a little feisty with Sanchez. So the bench is clear. And yes, Carlos Correa is in the middle. If you're a Twins fan, by the way, side note, are you like, dude, whose side are you on? But Carlos Correa kind of was able to stop that from escalating. And then, like, later the umpire said that counted as a mound visit for Sanchez. So then, Sanchez had to come out of the game. And then
Rocco Baldelli, the manager of the Twins, lost his mind.
He got tossed.
Ooh.
That was crazy. But Carlos, like you said, was in the middle of it. And you were able to chat with him about it after that. What was his reaction on that? And what was his kind of mood about having to be in the middle of his former chick and his current chick?
I don't think he really enjoyed being in that spot. But here is the question I asked him.
It must have been a little awkward, too, where you're playing peacemaker between Jose and your new team.
That was awkward. Awkward is the right way to say it.
What was that dust up like? What was your take on it?
A misunderstanding. Just 100% misunderstanding. You know, Aaron played with Altuve when he was here with us in 2019, and you know, we only have great things to say about Aaron in the clubhouse, and obviously we all know who Altuve is. So it was just a terrible misunderstanding.
I think what happened, Vanessa, is Sanchez saw that Altuve was a little bit in on the batter's box and maybe was trying to get him off the plate, and Altuve didn't move. And then I've watched the replay a couple of times. Whatever words were said were very minimal. It wasn't like Altuve was saying, oh, you want some?
It wasn't super confrontational.
It was like they were staring at each other and shrugging at each other. And then that led to both benches clearing, Carlos Correa getting in between everybody, and then the best part was the game just paused for a really long time, because then Baldelli goes out to visit the pitcher again. They have to pull Sanchez from the game, and Baldelli lost his mind, and everything just stopped for 10 minutes. And we're all wondering what the hell is happening. We were wondering why Baldelli had first off to take Sanchez out of the game, but he visited him on the mound twice. And then second, we were just wondering why we couldn't just move on. Like, where was security?
It did add probably a good 20 minutes to the game. But it nice did. For you to be back at Minute Maid Park.
It was good to be back. I think the crowd brought it. And Carlos Correa got a well-deserved reception, as we all, I think, expected. And, yeah, now it's just routine to see Carlos Correa playing against the Houston Astros going forward.
It will be routine. I wonder if tonight, if this crowd will be a little bit, I imagine it's going to be some of the same folks. I think Carlos Correa, probably there won't be another big reception. But Correa was always really respectful to the media, really kind. I remember I talked to him after that game six or whatever, where the Braves took the World Series. It was me and a handful of reporters, and he just said he wanted happiness and a good, you know, life for he and Daniela, who was, I think, pregnant at the time. And so it's good to see him happy. He will forever be in the hearts of Astros fans, I think, just as somebody that, like you said, helped with that resurgence.
No doubt.
Of the team. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Texans have a preseason game tomorrow against the 49ers. And we're asking you what a successful season looks like to you. But first, if you'd like to bet on the Texans or the Astros, listen up. I'm going to tell you about our friends over at BUSR. BUSR.com/ESPN. Double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have an NFL futures bet that you know will cash in? For me, it's Carson Wentz failing. The Texans, by the way, over-under set at 4.5 games right now. You think they're going to win 8 games? Maybe you're a hater. You think they're not going to be good. Guess what? You can still get the Stros at 400. Stros before bros, as I said last night. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now. Place your bets. You can do a little blackjack action, roulette. The good news, all of it, is BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We wear Jesus shoes on this show. Yeah. Paul and I are both wearing Jesus shoes. They're comfy.
The Roman Legionnaire. Ooh, is Sean Mapes behind the glass also wearing flip-flops?
Do you have them on?
No, or Nike's shoes?
No.
No.
Oh, then no.
But I like Nike's, too. I was wearing Nike's yesterday. We have to coordinate a little bit better, guys.
Those are heathen shoes. Because Nike was a Greek god. You're on watch.
Wait, was he really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nike was?
Mm-hmm. But, like, not even an important one.
Yeah, I was going to say I never heard of him.
He's kind of a loser.
Oedipus or whatever is the one I know about.
Yes, you Oedipus. Know Oedipus.
Oedius? I don't know. That's an editing software. The Texans do play the 49ers tomorrow in their final preseason matchup before the real thing gets here. I'm excited. My guy, Mike Silver, my friend Tracy Sandler coming in town. They cover the 49ers. Always love the NFL.
The guy who has been blocked on Twitter, yeah.
I don't think he does anymore, does he?
I don't know. I haven't checked, actually. I have no idea why I'm blocked on this one. This one, I really don't know. I didn't do anything wrong.
Mike Silver does have something he calls Blocktober. Which is
Blocktober.
Where he blocks people, okay. Yeah, that specifically might, in the month of October. I think you were a Blocktober victim, but at the same time, you might have deserved it. Love you.
This one, I stand on my innocence like I'm Deshaun Watson. I'm standing on it.
Whoa. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't think the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl. And I don't know that that's a controversial comment.
Wow, you have no faith.
I've said this before. This is a franchise that I feel now genuinely is on the right track. They have a general manager, Nick Caserio, who knows what he's doing. They have a head coach in Lovie Smith, who this isn't his first or even second rodeo as a head coach. He's been here before. This is his third tenure. The guys trust him. Pep Hamilton is OC. And there's just a different feeling as a reporter, boots on the ground in the locker room, that these guys have really bought in. So they are on the right track. That being said, it's still a rebuild. So I'm curious to know what people think a successful season for the Houston Texans looks like. I'm going to ask you guys, obviously our listeners can call in as well. Is it number of wins? Is it about, for me, it's like determine the quarterback situation by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Is Davis Mills your franchise quarterback? To me, that marks a success. And then the second thing would be, look, they won 4 games last year. They won 4 games the year before that. If they win 6 games, that may be a successful season for the Texans as they're working their way back up.
It's so depressing.
So 6 games and then determining the quarterback situation. Those are my 2 parameters. What say you?
I feel like even if they like Davis Mills, they shouldn't necessarily marry themselves to the quarterback situation this season. I think that, you know, from what we heard from them, they said, 18 to 24 month window.
But you don't think they need to figure it out by the end of the season?
I do think that it would be nice for them to figure it out by the end of the year. But even if they think that they figured it out, I think that they should at the very least keep their options open. For me, it's will the young players on this team be significantly better in week 17, week 18 than they will be in week 1? This is all about development this season. And by the way, say that Lovie Smith, Pep Hamilton, and some of the other coaches on this coaching staff aren't able to get the absolute most out of these young players, and we don't see them progressing, and we see them looking lost out there. I think that is a reason to, at the very least, call into question whether or not they would come back next year. I know optics aren't great. You fired David Culley last year. It would be bad optics if you fired Lovie Smith after 1 year, too. But
oh, they can't do that.
I feel like the idea
not with all the
that you can't do something because of the optics. Screw it. The optics are bad. They're never getting better unless you win. You may as well just say if this team does not get progress from the young players, that this coaching staff isn't capable of doing it with young players. I think you have a little bit of a nothing to lose bit about you right now because of how awful you've been of late. But for me, it's 100%. Will the young guys make progress?
Yeah.
That's it.
And then see, Sean, what about you? What is a successful Texan season for you?
Yeah, just knowing definitively if Davis Mills is the guy or isn't the guy. Yeah. I think almost him being obviously not the guy might be more beneficial in the long run for the Texans because that means they probably have a top three pick again, and then they can maybe draft his replacement in a quarterback draft.
A little Bryce Young action?
Yeah, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, guy from Miami is really good.
Okay.
Somebody on the Twitch line said Lovey is a seat holder for McCown.
I hope
there's
not.
Nothing out of the ordinary for this team.
I would like to amend mine.
Okay.
Do not hire Josh McCown. Do not find yourself in a position where you might hire that guy.
I'm with you on that one, too. Even if they were to move on from Lovie Smith, which wouldn't look good,
no.
I definitely feel like you stay the bleep away from Josh
McCown.
Anyone
would help.
And with Lovie, there is a racial element to where it wouldn't look good for sure.
It would look awful firing two black coaches in a row after 1 year.
With Lovie,
to hire a high school white coach?
Right. But somebody that's literally only coached his son.
Oh, no.
And Josh McCown, I've heard, is very nice, but that's a problem. With Lovie, he's experienced. Like I always say, put some respect on his name. We have a caller, Andy, who'd like to talk about what a successful Texan season looks like to him. What's up, Andy?
713-780-3776.
Just watching what Casera has done in 2 years, there's no way that Nick was going to hire McCown as a head coach. Zero possibility. I think he was just placating Easterby, and now we don't have to worry about Easterby no more anyway. But I think a success this year would be adding more starters to your lineup like they did last year. You know, Lopez is going to start, Jordan's going to start. Collins didn't start last year, he will start this year. Mills didn't start. He started this year. You know, and so next year, it'd be nice to see, hopefully, Metcalf can be back. And if he is, I believe he would be a starter off the bat. You've got Green at left guard. You've got Green that you brought in at defensive end. Last year, he'll be a new starter. You're just adding starters. Stingley will be a starter. You know, you're on the starters, you add depth. The depth on this team is so much better than it was last year.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Of course,
hope so.
Last year, the cap space we have.
I think we get where you're going with Andy, and sorry, the phone connection is not great on that front. But he wants to see the team develop players into starters, which is consistent with what I'm looking for.
That's similar to what you said.
And I think the good thing that we have seen, at least going into the year, if we take a look at the depth chart, is that they are putting the young players at the top of the depth chart. Damian Pierce excluded, but I think Pierce is going to be the starting running back for this team going into the year, given that he didn't play in the last game. Yeah, you need to, I think, get away from this old school idea that only veterans play. No, throw the rookies all into the fire, see who can swim.
Ross Blacklock will not play tomorrow per Lovie Smith. Kenyon Green will play but will not start. Here's Lovie Smith and Kenyon Green.
Kenyon Green will. Kenyon has made a lot of progress. He'll play. He won't start, but we're going to get him into the mix. He's right on schedule.
I mean, is Ross Blacklock donezo?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel great about him.
Second round of the 2020 draft. That was an O'Brien guy, right?
Yeah. Are you married to anyone from 2020?
O'Brien was big on Ross Blacklock. If you guys remember, I'm going to take you back in time. Do you remember J.J. Watt chewing him out because he was ejected from the game after throwing a punch against the Ravens? I looked at that at the time as a rookie thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it might have been foreshadowing. This guy has never developed past what we thought he would, and he just hasn't lived up to expectations.
Yeah, he has not been good, and it's a 2020 draft pick. Whether it's Easterby or it's O'Brien or whatever, it's not good.
The two brain children of the Texans.
To go back to the Kenyon Green thing, I'm very curious as to what on track means. So is he going to start for the regular season debut? Do you want him to start for the regular season debut? I don't know. I don't know if I do at this point in time, just because, like I said a little second ago, I want the young players to play. But at the same time, I think for an offensive lineman, if you want Davis Mills to survive this year, I don't want to see any I wish they had Josh Allen. I don't want to see any Kyle Allen this year. I don't want to see any Jeff Driscoll this year. Sorry. I don't want Davis Mills to die, even if I'm not sold on him as a young quarterback going forward. At the very least, I want to see all 17 games.
I feel like I need
games.
One more thing, because I have two. I need like one more condition for a successful Texan season. We do want your opinion
undefeated
on this.
Season.
The people that that listen to the show, 713-780-3776. What does a successful Texan season look like to you? Lovie Smith did make it sound like, if you go through that audio from yesterday, that he wants to see the guys that are kind of on the cusp, on the brink, and see what they bring tomorrow. So I don't know if it's a good sign for Ross Blacklock. I think it's a bad sign for him.
I think he's done, right? I mean, you hate to put something on someone before they even have a chance to save themselves. But, yeah, I think that every single chance that this new Caserio regime can turn the page from O'Brien is a good one.
This would be turning the page because he was the pick that they got from the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Oh,
so this
my
would
God,
be
I didn't know that.
When Ross Jesus. Blacklock exits, it is like the last remnants of that.
Man, now I feel like I'm Weebay in The Wire realizing that they just shot a cop. God.
Great show. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the NFL Countdown. We're not just talking Texans. We're talking all around the league. And I want your opinion on a piece of music that we're going to play for you. But first, Paul's going to tell you about his friends at PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, people. I'm sorry, I can't get past the fact that Ross Blacklock was the guy they got for DeAndre Hopkins. Good God. Oh, wait, they got David Johnson,
yeah,
too.
David Johnson was the pick.
You know what? The Passive Investor Network is like getting a first-round pick and a first-round pick and a first-round pick in exchange for DeAndre Hopkins. They are a full-service real estate investment firm. Here's what they do. They sit down with you and personalize a five-year plan for you and your family to make money through real estate investing. You get a portfolio advisor in your corner, and this person is going to be fantastic. And look, the Passive Investor Network does the hard work of finding the parts of town and houses to invest in. Then they do the construction for you with the 20-plus years of experience in Houston that they have fixing houses. They give you daily updates on the Passive Investor Network app of your pick of your property. So you get pictures every single day. And then once the construction's done for you, they find the tenants for you. And they do the property management for you. They do all of this for you. You own the house. They do the hard work for you. And they take the headache out of the investment process so that you can invest passively in real estate to help reach those long-term goals. Visit their website today, passiveinvestor.net. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio advisor. Again, passiveinvestor.net today. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you. It's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
We are 15 days away from the start of the regular season of the NFL, and for that we go to Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant, what is your jersey number for 15, friend?
Well, of course, the greatest receiver in Houston Texans history.
Oh?
Will Fuller.
Okay.
I will say Deshaun Watson to Will Fuller was randomly one of the most devastating combinations in recent NFL history.
It was.
You can make an argument that was the most explosive receiver-quarterback combination in Texas history.
Two controversial guys, because Fuller has got some of the PED taint on
him. He and D-Hop, man.
Some other number 15s. You have Brandon Marshall. People forget the time that Brandon Marshall was at practice. Someone threw a ball his way, and he legitimately just caught it and punted it into the stands because he didn't want to be there. You also have Bart Starr, former Green Bay Packers quarterback,
legend,
with Vince Lombardi's Packers way back in the day. And, of course, today you have Patrick Mahomes.
There
so that's
you go.
Number 15.
15 days until the regular season NFL, of course, tomorrow. The Texans take on the 49ers in their final preseason game of the year. I'm excited for that one. All right, Derek Carr responded. Derek Carr, Paul Gallant's twin, soul sister, twin flame, spirit animal.
I don't like that.
Responded to the rumors and the report, quite frankly, from Dana White, that Tom Brady almost went to Vegas with Gronk. Here's what Derek Carr had to say.
That came out on Saturday, Tom Brady, Dana White.
Yep.
First of all, any thoughts on that? And then also, are you kind of immune to all the nonsense?
By now, yeah. I would hope so. You know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, for me, like, I didn't even hear about it. We actually had within the building someone lost a family member. So, like, I was so immersed in that and just talking to that person and that kind of stuff that
it was
a moment to really put things in perspective. Like, I've had.
That wasn't me.
Paul Gallant.
That wasn't me that made that face. You made a face. Explain.
Okay.
Explain yourself.
Look, we all have the moments where things are put in perspective for us. If anybody has had moments like that this year, it is me. But here's the thing. He's lying, right? Like, he 100% heard it. He 100% felt petty about it. He probably had a moment where he called somebody and, like Will Smith did in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to his uncle, said, "Why didn't he want me, man? Why didn't he want me?" That kind of thing. Come on.
They didn't ask a follow-up question either about, hey, Derek.
You are so Derek Carr.
What does it mean to you to know that Tom Brady thinks you're that mother bleeper over there? And I think it's so funny that he just changed the subject altogether.
If I asked Paul Gallant, what did you think of the fact that this woman left you for another guy? He'd 100% say, you know what? At that exact moment, something else happened in my life. And
no, I would say I'm pissed.
Yeah, that's true.
Which, by the way, I am.
Yeah, because it did happen. That's awkward. Whoa. But this was just, listen, I can't take him seriously. I think he's an underrated quarterback. I think that he has the possibility to have a breakout year with his, you know, best friend that he's reunited with. But I just don't buy this. Sean, do you buy it?
Absolutely not. The entire press conference was just the most boring football talk about how much he loves Davante Adams and they have had good days of practice. I wanted to gouge my eyes out and then and my ears out, too. And then you could, like, see his body language change. And then when the reporter started the question, he was like, yep. Like I want to talk about the Tom Brady, Dana White thing. Yep, uh-huh. Well, I didn't even hear about it because
yeah.
I'm such a good guy.
Right.
You know, it's like hypothetically on a dating profile leading off with, you know, I really love animals. I would stop traffic to help animals.
Thank you. These guys, these two amazing coworkers that I have are on the receiving end of many of my dating profiles that I send to them.
Oh, let's read this one. This one was good.
Do we have the animal one?
I think going over the top to tell everyone you're such a good
person.
Work
hard, try to play harder. Love to laugh and make others do the same. Meet up for some food and some live music. Was married, no longer. Have two beautiful daughters. So if that's a bother, you know what to do. Who hasn't seen Top Gun yet and wants to go tonight? Sadly, still have not.
Well, that's a red flag. You haven't seen Top Gun yet?
Yeah.
You uncultured slob?
Take your kids to go see Top Gun. Come on.
I don't know if it's PG-13. Might be too early.
See, I thought that the Top Gun wasn't too inappropriate. Some news in the AFC South. Indianapolis Colts punter Rigoberto Sanchez is likely out for the year. The Colts did confirm today he sustained an Achilles tear while running gassers yesterday at the Colts training camp.
Ow.
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
He's one of the best in the league, so we'll see what happens there. Oh, I found it. The kind of guy that will block afternoon traffic to protect an animal on the road.
Oh, well, I
keeps
want
a clean house.
To arrest that
My
man.
Dog and I are a package deal. Always growing, hardworking, kind, open-minded, physical touch and words of affirmation, taco and marg fan, patriot, enjoys bourbon.
Well, thank you for being a patriot, first of all.
Thank you for
thank
your
you
service.
For your service.
Yeah. Well, no, he didn't actually say that he served. He just said he was a patriot.
But not a New England patriot, so not even, you know, the good,
kind. Yeah.
Yeah,
also, I didn't know he doubled down on how much he would stop traffic, and he also loves his dog.
Right.
Good to know, dude.
It was good to know.
Watch the dog be unbehaved as hell, too.
Yeah, exactly.
What if someone
watch him be chained up in the backyard.
I would love on a dating profile for someone to be like, I have a dog. Kind of sucks.
Right. My high school mascot actually was a Patriot, and it looked exactly like the New England Patriot to the point to where, and I love Terre Haute North Vigo High School. I love you. But I cannot wear shirts that come from my high school alma mater if there's a Patriot on it, because I'm from Indiana and we hate the Patriots.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It made no sense. Now,
it made sense when the Patriots sucked, which, by the way, was for a very long time.
The cross rival school, the Terre Haute South Braves, had an Indian that was, that one's controversial too.
Ooh,
so,
what did that mascot look like?
An Indian. But I couldn't do it. Couldn't wear it, Patriots. Amazon, guys, now in the NFL game, and they released their theme music. This is what it sounds like.
Oh. Calm down. No. Out.
I don't like it.
Too
if you
generic.
Listen to more of it throughout the clip, if you listen to the full thing, Sean and I were talking about this before the show. It almost sounds too majestical. Like from an Avengers movie or from some fictional thing. I don't like it.
It's Thursday
not
night. Calm
enough.
Down.
It sounds like the cutting room floor of like Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Yeah, good point there.
It's too busy. Yeah, it's Thursday night. Like, relax. Know your place. You're the Thursday night game.
I didn't like it. Maybe it'll grow. But the other thing is that it
probably will grow on all of us.
When's the last time that it actually, like, there was new music for the NFL that we've all heard NBC and Fox for forever.
The Sunday Night Football theme on NBC is an absolute banger.
Is a banger.
I remember
the
first time I heard that.
But how long has Sunday Night Football been on NBC?
Probably
I want to
like
say
over 25 years.
Yeah,
no,
I was going to say, because I don't remember.
It's been about, I think when it's been branded the way that it's been branded and they brought Al Michaels over originally.
That was like 2004, right?
It's like 2006, 7, 8, something like that. So it's only been about 10 years, but I remember as soon as I heard that one for the first time, I was like, that's awesome. I could use a little refresher with CBS's, by the way, too. CBS had a great theme from about 1998 through 2000, and then they got rid of it, 2002, and they got rid of it for the...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I wonder, speaking of the NBC one, I wonder if Amazon's going to try to recreate the Carrie Underwood...
Hey, Jack, it's a fact.
Because no one does that. ESPN had to stop the Hank Williams one.
They need to bring back Hank Williams. They need to bring back
Hank. Is the nation ready for Hank Williams?
Yes.
I don't know. Actually, don't ask me, Hank, why do you drink?
In these divided times.
Why do you roll smoke?
I didn't know that was him.
Family tradition was
Hank Williams'
junior.
I did not know it was him.
Did you know Hank Williams? His dad, Hank Williams Jr. He had a dad, Hank Williams Sr.
Whoa.
Also a country
Wait,
music
did you really
star.
Not know
I did
that?
Know that, yes.
Okay, good.
I did
That's
know
what
that.
Family tradition's about.
So is that by Hank Williams Sr. or Junior?
Junior.
No, just by Junior.
Okay. Because it would be the tradition.
I am very proud of my daddy's name.
Something that I really enjoyed back in the day when I was an ardent listener of Josh Innes was when he would just randomly break out Hank Williams Jr.'s If the South Would Have Won... We'd Have It Made, which Whoa. Is one of the more hilarious songs, even though it's quite aggressive, that I've ever heard.
Sammy Watkins says that Aaron Rodgers is on a different level than Pat Mahomes. We're seeing this a lot. We're seeing this a lot where there's a lot of comparison in the NFL. He's amazing how he controls the ball, how he puts everyone in the place. I've been with a lot of quarterbacks, and I've never seen them carry themselves like Aaron Rodgers. It's not the worst comparison. After all, we did see Tyreek and hear Tyreek say that Tua was better than Mahomes. But what's up with this comparison, guys?
Well, think about it. I mean, Sammy Watkins used to play for the Kansas City Chiefs. He now plays for the Green Bay Packers. Is this not perhaps a bitter ex?
There you go.
I feel that to make strong assessments like this about Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers when you haven't even played with Aaron Rodgers yet.
Right, right.
Is a little putting the cart ahead of the horse. Like, this is going to be his first season with Aaron Rodgers. Last year he played with Baltimore, and it was three seasons that he played with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Same for Tyreek Hill, though. Tyreek hasn't played in a game with Tua yet, and he's just so convinced that Tua's the GOAT.
Well, to be fair, those are two of the best quarterbacks in the league that they went to.
You are a two-and-on. Yeah. You are our lead to an
Do I have to play the not Josh McDaniels, the Mike McDaniel?
Mike McDaniel, sound? Yeah.
Best that, quarterback he's ever seen.
That was awkward. That was speaking of awkward, 3 years ago today was a very awkward moment on an NFL broadcast. We're going to talk about that next, as well as an apology.
Great moment for the Texans.
Okay.
For everyone.
That's nope, not
the
for everyone.
The end of a run.
We'll talk about that coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I believe it's Elton John who said sorry seems to be the hardest word. And it was very difficult for Fernando Tatis Jr., who was suspended for PEDs. His dad, of course, who also played in the MLB very prominently, defended his son, said that the MLB would lose millions of viewers over his son being suspended. His son did nothing wrong. But yesterday we heard from Fernando Tatis Jr., who said, I'm guilty.
Really sorry for my mistake. I've seen how my dreams have turned into my worst nightmares. A couple days, a couple months. But there's no other one to blame than myself. I haven't made the right decisions on this past 2 weeks, month. Even start at the beginning of the year. I made a mistake. And I regret every single step that I have taken in these days.
All right, I respect that. It came a little bit too late before he and his dad tried to make up the story of him getting a fungus at a barber shop. And that was how he got the whatever it was in his system.
I like this apology, didn't you?
This was genuine. This was authentic.
He actually seemed broken up about it. Now, whether or not he changes is another story, but this is how you are supposed to do an apology. You're supposed to look humble. You're not supposed to make excuses. I mean, if he was pulling on a charade, holy crap. I mean, that was a hell of a job by him. Like, I almost felt bad for him watching him apologize.
Well, he said, and he gave a plan of action going forward, right?
That
I'm not
going
to do it again. Here's what we'll do. So I thought that was a great apology. And I think that it's a lesson for people in sports and in life in general. Just own it from the beginning.
Yeah, at no point did he say that he was going to stand on his innocence. So that's already a pretty good start.
Yes. At Deshaun Watson, yeah. Yeah, that was a good apology, though.
I like it. Look, he's a fun player. He's just a bit of a crazy person. Who wouldn't be if you got $350 million dollars when you're 22 years old?
Exactly. Like, he became like a baseball household name, which, you know, how much is that? But he became one of the biggest stars in his sport when he was like 22.
Yeah.
And then was given $300 million.
And like, he had the pressure from his dad, too.
I understand. How many times do we see this with actors and musicians where if you get all that success that early, stuff is going to go wrong. So hopefully he can grow from this.
Listen to us right now. How we're all just like, yeah.
Tatis.
We're making excuses for him.
No, we're having empathy.
Because he didn't make any excuses.
Right. We're having empathy because he owned it.
We are forgiving him.
And you sit back and you say, who among us has not messed up at that young of an age?
See, you're right. But it's funny, though. All you got to do is apologize. And a lot of people are willing to give you the benefit of the doubt if you actually act
contrite. Paul's referencing Deshaun Watson, if you're listening to me.
I thought it was all the other like the Rafael Palmeiro Mark McGwire.
Well, that too.
It is everyone, but that's the most recent one for us, right? Like, legitimately, you do this and you act like you feel bad, even if you don't.
Now, PEDs a little lighter than what Deshaun Watson is accused of doing.
No doubt.
But as we've said, and at the point that I made is America will give second chances to those who fall on the sword, not those who act like they didn't do anything wrong.
It's really funny. I mean, look, he's done a lot of stupid stuff, Tatis, that actually deserves to be criticized. But I hear him and see him apologize like that. And I'm like, yeah, I'll give him another shot.
Yeah. Where were you guys 3 years ago today?
I was unemployed, probably hungover.
Yikes. 3 years ago today, there was a shock in the NFL world. Many of you know I'm from Indiana, so this gives me a little bit of PTSD, but I'm going to play you the clip from the Colts preseason game as they hosted the Bears 3 years ago tonight.
Got to kick this off, and you see Andrew Luck on the sidelines, and you see the graphic on the screen. There is a report that has been filed by Adam Schefter of ESPN that Andrew has informed the team of his desire to retire from the National Football League. At this time, there is no further information that we can pass along to you. Obviously, this will be the topic of discussion tonight, tomorrow, and for a long time after that. If there is more information we can pass along to you during the broadcast, we will. I wanted to acknowledge, yes, we are aware of what is kind of making the world go around on social media right now, but no further information to pass along to you at this time.
Yeah, we went from a fun night here at the yard to one of the stunning possibilities in franchise history.
So 27-17, Colts trail.
They go right back to the game. Look, the local ties here are obvious as well. It's AFC South, Texans and Colts, but also Andrew Luck went to high school here at Stratford. His dad, Oliver Luck, very heavily involved in the sports scene. So this was a big story throughout the National Football League, but also specifically here in Houston. I will never forget this. I pulled over to the side of the road. I called my dad, and it was the beginning of an interesting time as the Colts, I believe, have had six different quarterbacks under center to start the season for the past 6 years.
Wow. Where were you when the Soviet Union fell? Because to me, this was very similar. This was when the Colts came back, when they officially lost the all-time war against the New England Patriots, the supreme power. When all
Boston native over here.
When all we who follow the Houston Texans finally get to take a deep breath because the Colts finally didn't have a ridiculous all-time quarterback that they sucked their way into getting first overall.
Sucked their way into. I mean, they chose Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf. They chose Andrew Luck over RG3. But in some ways, it was good decision-making.
It was good decision-making, but they were bad before that. It's really funny that Ryan Gregson, by the way, got General Manager of the Year. Because it's like he drafted Andrew Luck.
Yeah, he didn't protect Andrew Luck, and then Andrew Luck subsequently retired. What followed, by the way, Indianapolis fans booed Andrew Luck. People made signs at halftime that said, "Say it isn't so." And then Andrew Luck went and had a very sad
showed their
retirement.
True colors.
Oh, they were just emotional.
It reminds me of a story that happened not too long afterwards. Because, listen, I was a bitter, bitter person that was very upset about his current situation.
You were unemployed at the time. That's not a joke. Okay.
I had been
canned. So you had been fired from the flagship here.
Yes.
Okay.
That was like about a month and a half, 2 months and a half before. So I'm looking for work. And one of the guy that the flagship hired to do afternoons, Rick Kamla, I remember, tweeted this out. Andrew Luck is mentally worn down? Are you kidding me? That's weaker than Antonio Brown's helmet beef. There's a difference between retiring and quitting. What a joke. Now, when we look back at it, was it the worst take in the world?
Well, listen.
It's a local guy.
Yeah.
It's a person in Houston making that take. But he didn't really give anyone any notice, it seems like. It seems like he was just like, all right, it's the middle of the preseason.
I will always and forever and forever and forever say this. I understand why he retired. He was, not to be graphic, but if you listen to Zach Kiefer's podcast from The Athletic called Luck, he was peeing blood. I mean, his body was so beat down from taking all of those hits. How much of that was the Colts not protecting him with the offensive line? How much was that him taking the risky plays is up for you to decide. His body was so – I understand why he retired. And he said in that press conference, if you guys remember, that watching Jacoby Brissett enjoy playing football made him bitter because he didn't enjoy it anymore. However, the timing during a preseason game when you didn't give the Colts a lot of time to come up with a plan before the regular season started, the timing will always strike me as iffy. But him actually retiring, how are you going to tell somebody who's had all these concussions, whose injuries, an expert said, was similar to that of somebody who had been in car crashes.
Yeah.
So I don't buy the mentally weak. I don't buy the
That's
mentally
a little far.
Weak.
That's fair.
But the timing of it, yeah. I mean, I think that to this day bothers Colts fans.
I just, look, it should bother people. It should. I mean, it was a last second thing. And if you are in that organization and you know, obviously Andrew Luck may or may not have messed up his shoulder snowboarding at one point in time.
Yeah, that was not good.
Maybe you had like a little bit more loyalty shown your way. I still can't get over, though, that tweet, because the flagship basically made him apologize to open the show. At least it felt that way on Monday. And I remember just thinking to myself, man, it's kind of BS that they didn't let him just, like, marry his take and, like, go with it, you know?
Adam Schefter, free Rick by the Hamla. Way.
You're handing him a shovel and right. be like, yeah, dig your own grave.
Adam Schefter, by the way, if you listen to the Luck podcast from The Athletic, they detail how Adam Schefter broke it. He was at his mother-in-law's birthday celebration at an Italian restaurant, I believe in New York City, and the waitstaff, he tweeted it, the waitstaff kept walking up to him saying, is this real? There's controversy around that, too. Should he have actually broken that story, or should he have let Andrew Luck announce it himself? All of that is up to you. I will say this. It was the year 2019, and the fact that the Colts and Andrew Luck and his agent thought that they could keep it secret for a week was naive.
Yeah, it was. And look, I'm to be consistent with my take on when Tom Brady had his retirement.
Yeah.
Pulled out from underneath him. I do think that Luck should have been able to announce it. Here's the problem, though. You just got to announce it.
But I agree with the Adam Schefter was also doing his job.
He was.
He had multiple sources tell him this was happening, and he ended up being right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant,
Ish.
We're going to talk a little bit more about this. We have a call on the board that we'll get to, and then, yes, we will get into Astros and Correa's return. That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.